So what's our part? Here it is. Start early. Don't wait till you're challenged before you decide to be faithful. So number two, stay faithful. Whatever the cost, regardless, stay faithful. And then practice humility. A humility that's crowned with forgiveness. Because when you do, God will exalt you in due time. He will turn the tables. I promise you. That's just the character of God. Even if it's against all odds.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Gradero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Today, Pastor Wayne will take a deep dive into one of his favorite Bible characters, Joseph. And we'll learn three distinguishing characteristics Joseph had that propelled him from being a lowly shepherd on the backside of the desert to a position of prominence and leadership in all the land. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Against All Odds.
Hey, today I want to talk to you about against all odds. Against all odds. We've all been there. Sometimes you're up against the wall. You've painted yourself into the corner. The odds are stacked against you. You might have had a medical setback or a financial setback or relational setback, but we've all been there where it's against all odds. But the good news is this. Every problem you're going to face will have already been faced by somebody in the Bible. And God has recorded their story, and they leave clues behind as how we can navigate the same experience and do it well. But before we start, let me just say this. One thing you need to know about God, He loves to turn the tables when all the odds are against you. Because He gets the glory, and people start to see Him as He is. The God who rescues, the God who promotes, the God who saves and redeems. Let me give you three examples. So the first is Gideon. Do you remember when God told Gideon to go against the Midianites? And so he amasses 32,000 warriors. And God says, that's too many. Well, what do you mean? Well, I can't turn the tables when you got 32,000. Just tell the ones that aren't ready to go to war just to go home. So Gideon says to the 32,000 over the loudspeaker, I guess. He says, hey, listen, if any of you, really don't want to go to war, you can go home. You know, I know it'd be a dozen of you or so. 22,000 leave. And I could see Gideon going, excuse me, not too many now. 22,000 leave. So he's got 10,000 left. So he says, okay, I think I can do it. And the Lord says, no, too many. We need to do one more cut. And in the next cut, 9,700 leave. Now you have 300 left. And God says, good, we'll do it with that. Gideon says, this is against all odds that we're going to win against the Midianites. The Lord says, don't worry about it. Well, what are you going to give us for weapons? There's only 300 against this massive armor. Are you going to give us nuclear armor or nuclear weapons? The Lord says, no, let's use some matches and some vases and some party horns. And he says, I don't think so. No, it'll work. Well, sure enough, they have these torches. They put these canisters over them, these vases. And the Lord says, when we blow those horns, I want you to crash those pots, those clay pots, and hold your torches up. And they surround the city. And when they do, God turns the tables against all odds. Amazing. Another one is Moses. He's running. Behind him is a full Egyptian army with fire and blood in their eyes. In front of them is the Red Sea. And Moses cries out to God and says, what do we do now? We're hash. And the Lord, against all odds, turns the tables. Opens the ocean, gives them a pathway against all odds. The other is a man named Jonah. Do you remember him? He is in the belly of a whale, maybe a great fish. We don't know what kind of fish it was, but let's just say it's a whale. Now, he is there by his own choosing against all odds. He's done. He's finished. But when he cries out to God, God turns a sentence of condemnation into an example of grace. And he sets him ashore to finish what God had called him to do. And I look at that and I think, against all odds, God turns the tables again. But today I want to talk to you about another one who God turned the tables on, because I think we can relate to this one the most. His name, Joseph. Now, Joseph's life was like a roller coaster, and like Joseph, so was ours. And every time you think the roller coaster of a life is starting to level out, it's then that you hear the rhythmic chain going clunk, clunk, jerking you upwards. And you think, uh-oh, something else is about to happen. And then you remember an old song your dad used to sing. What goes up must come down. And zoom, that's when Joseph's dreams, every dream, would be shattered. He'd be betrayed by his family. You ever have your confidence dashed? You ever have your confidence completely dashed? The money you thought you had vanishes. The position you thought was guaranteed wasn't. The promotion you were given didn't. And against all odds, God turns Joseph's life around. See if you can relate to this. His dreams are first ridiculed. His family betrays him, and then he's sold as a slave to a passing caravan. He's falsely accused and quarantined in prison. Forgotten twice. But after that, God turns to the tables, and from the pit to the pinnacle of power, from a prisoner to a Pharaoh, Joseph rises. And I think, Lord, you just turned the tables again, didn't you? And you put that in the Bible. In fact, he put it in the Bible in such an emphatic way that the story of Joseph takes up more space than Noah, Adam, Abraham, and even Jacob, his father. It goes from chapter 17 to chapter 50. You look at that and you think, that's a lot. From 17 years old to 110 years old. I'm sorry, from chapter 37 to 50. It spans 93 years of Joseph's life. And that's all in Genesis. And I think, yowzer, that's a lot. And yet God is saying, but he succeeded against all odds. But what does that say to us? Let me share with you three things that if Joseph would say to us, this is what I believe he would say. Now remember, his story starts when he was 17. And at 17 years old, God's already giving him prophetic dreams. 17 years old. And he starts serving God. Here, would you write it down? He starts early on. He doesn't wait till later. He starts early on. Don't wait. Because at 17, he's already moving in prophetic dreams. Let's read the scripture here in Genesis 27, verses 2 and 5, when it comes up. Would you read it with me? Go. Joseph, a young man of 17, was tending the flocks with his brothers, and Joseph had a dream. And when he told his brothers, they hated him. Yeah, listen. When you start serving God, it doesn't mean you're going to be liked by everybody. You may even be despised, starting with your own family. And you have to press through anyway, because you know what God has called you to do. When I was 19 years old, I was raised a Catholic, and I became a Christian. And my family said to me, "Wayne, you left the faith. You've deserted us." But I knew that God had called me. And so I put my hand to the plow and haven't looked back. And I think about it now, and the only regret I have is that I hadn't started serving him sooner. I wish I had. I wish I had. Look at what Ecclesiastes says. And this is Solomon, the wisest man in the world at that time. It's going to come up, and would you read it with me? Go. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, "I find no pleasure in them." Yeah, he's saying, Sooner the better. Choose to serve God early on. There was a student going to Arizona State, and he came to me and he said, Wayne, how do I make sure that I stay true to God when I go to college? I said, here's what you do. Before you go to college, buy a shirt that says, Jesus Christ is my Lord. And on the first day of school, wear it. And then carry your Bible to class. He said, whoa, you mean just like big letters? I said, oh, yeah, the bigger the better. And I said, you watch, when you wear that shirt first day of class, no one will invite you to like weed parties and keggers and stuff, X-rated movies. He said, really? I said, yeah, try it. You see, you have to decide to serve God early on, because if you don't, if you can't wait until your faith is going to be tested before you decide to be committed, because it's then that you're going to fail. You can't prepare for the storm after the storm hits. You prepare before, and the sooner you choose to serve God, the better. It was Joseph, when he was 17, he decided to stay committed to God. And when everything happened, he will win because he made a decision prior to the challenge. Don't wait for the challenge. Start early on. And then another thing Joseph did was he stayed faithful. Can I say this? Regardless of the cost, stay faithful. Whatever the cost, stay faithful. Because God will promote you if you're faithful. But you've got to stay faithful, because if you're not, when God does promote you, you will fail. Stay faithful, even past this point of prosperity and success. Stay faithful. Because you see, in the end, it won't be poverty that'll be your greatest test. It'll be prosperity. Because when you're impoverished, when you're poor, you're seeking God. You're asking God. You're praying. But when you're prosperous, you forget. And you become prideful. And that's when we fall. The greatest test isn't poverty. The greatest test is prosperity. And Joseph stays faithful because even after he's sold into slavery, he's taken into Egypt and he is hired by this general named Potiphar. And he is so faithful, he gets promoted. And when he gets promoted, that's when he gets tempted. See, that's your greatest test. It's prosperity. When we're still working hard and we've got to put in extra hours, we're praying, our knees are calloused from praying. We're seeking God's face. We're asking him for daily provision. And then we get a bunch of money, and then we forget God. And then we start looking at ourselves like we're prideful, and we forget all that God has done. But Joseph remains faithful, because in the midst of that, Potiphar's wife brings a temptation. Hey, big boy, come on, let's party. And Joseph says, I don't think so. And she says, no, come on. And then he has to decide. But if he hadn't prepared prior to that, he would have fallen. So what he does is he starts rehearsing. Let's read it up here. You'll see how he rehearses all that God had already done for him. Would you read it? Go. My master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owns, he has entrusted to my care. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you're his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God? Who is he recognizing that got him to this place? God. You see, it's important for us every once in a while to rehearse what you got. You're here in this place. God must have chosen you. Out of thousands of others, he chose you to serve him. He has asked you to be his child, his daughter, his son, to represent him. And as we rehearse these things, oh, God has given us a lot. How many times temptations will come to our life and I just stop and rehearse? Now, wait a minute. I've got a great wife. I've got great kids, except one. And I've got great students at the college. I've got great grandkids. I've got this wonderful farm. I have good friends. How could I sin against God? and throw all of that away. You see, what the devil wants you to do is forget what God has done for you. Forget what God has done for you. And then you get very fragile and susceptible to the wiles of the enemy. You've got to make that decision first and then start to rehearse what God has already done. Do you remember when Simon Peter was about to be tempted? And in Luke 22, he says to Simon Peter, "Simon, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that what? That your faith not fail. Stay faithful." Did you know that Jesus is praying for you for one thing? That your faith not fail. "All I've done for you," the Lord says, "all that I've given to you, all the things that I've brought you through, don't let your faith fail now. Just hang on, because success is right around the corner. And the time where Satan pushes the most is when you're almost there. Because he gets more glee when he can destroy you and distract you and stumble you just before you got there, just before you moved to a different, higher level of faith. That's when you fail, and that's when he gets the greatest glee. But Jesus says to Peter, "I prayed that your faith not fail." You notice he rehearsed things, fast-forwarded the tape, made the decision that he decided long ago. Can I encourage you, whenever you get tempted, here's what I ask you to do. Fast-forward the tape as far as you can. Okay, I'm in this relationship. It's not the best relationship, but, and I know I've cut some corners here, but fast forward the tape. What you saw here, multiply that 10 times more. What you saw here and a little problem here, just exacerbate that. Just magnify that, because that's what will happen. Whenever you put on a ring like this, every mistake or every fault or every character flat spot just increases, just gets stronger. Doesn't go away. Just because you put a ring on doesn't mean everything is going to go whoop, perfect. No, it intensifies. So if you have a good character, good heart, that'll intensify. You have flat spots, it'll go super flat after that, because everything is going to be under pressure at that point. So what I do is, if there's someone that's maybe in an illicit or wrong relationship, fast forward the tape. What'll happen? Just keep fast forwarding it. This will happen. That'll happen. You get this, that happens. That'll take place. This will take place. And then what? Okay, I'm going to cut the corner here and I'm going to get this job. And I know it's not what God's really called me to do, but I'm going to do it anyway because I make some money. But then that's going to come to a point where in 3-4 years, I'll have regrets. I'll make money, but it'll be empty. And then what? And I've missed it. And I look at that and I think, okay, good enough. And then I rewind the tape and make a decision. Mm-hmm. Learn to fast forward the tape as far as you can go. On the other hand, when you're doing what God is asking you to do and you're remaining faithful, fast forward the tape. If I stay faithful, just stay with it. Mm-hmm. Stay with it. What will happen? Then God begins to bless. Even when I think I'm against the wall, God turns the tables. Okay, there'll be a miracle, 2 miracles, 3 miracles. You know what? I think I'll stay faithful over here. And then you rewind the tape. And that's exactly what Joseph did. He rehearsed all the things that God had done for him. Fast forwarded the tape. If I go with Mrs. Potiphar, what's going to happen? And he said, no, I'm not going to do it. Even though he gets framed, and he's going to be thrown in prison. He says, I can't sin against God. Just can't do it. And he stays faithful. I think, wow, God's about to turn the tables on you. Because you see, every one of us has a part to play. God will do his part, but we have to do ours. So the first is start early on. Don't wait. Don't wait until you're challenged before you decide. The second is stay faithful. Whatever the cost is, stay faithful, because God has a plan. Do you remember what Jeremiah 29:11 says? For I know the plans I have for you. You think God has plans for you?
Yes.
He sure does. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans not for your calamity, but for your welfare, in order that you might have a future and a hope. God has plans. Stay faithful. But the third is, because I know God and I know he turns the tables, stay humble. That's the third. Learn humility when you are someone that has very little. Stay humble, because God is faithful and he will begin to bless you. But stay humble. God gave Pharaoh a dream, and Pharaoh couldn't interpret it. So he calls for those who know how to interpret dreams. And someone said, hey, there's a guy in prison. He interpreted my dreams. No way, Pharaoh says, go get him. So Joseph comes up and interprets his dreams. It's about a famine that's about to hit the land. And sure enough, it does. Pharaoh says, well, who know better to manage this famine and our storehouses and our food than the one who understood dreams? Because he must have a connection with God. And so he asks Joseph to come and be that one who would manage everything. God promotes him to the pinnacle of power. His brothers come down from Israel because they have to buy food. There's a huge famine. And then they come before Joseph. Now, they don't even know it's Joseph because he's got all this mascara on, you know, those Egyptians dress. And so they don't know and they don't recognize that that's their own brother, the one they tried to kill, the one they sold into slavery, the one they kept a deception about for so many years and hid it from his own father. And I thought, he's going to stay humble. Watch this. Let's read what it says here in 1 Peter 5. Would you read it with me? Go. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in... Yeah, his part is to lift you up. What's our part? Stay humble. Stay humble, 1 Peter says. Finally, there is a... You know, you've heard of gender reveal parties. This is a brother reveal party. He's about to reveal himself. And I read this. And Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. He says, is my father still living? And then it says this, interestingly, it says, and the brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified. You see, if his brothers tried to kill him, later on find out that he's the ruling dude, there's going to be some price that's about to be paid. And so they were terrified when they realized it was Joseph, the one they tried to kill. Now, I don't know how many times I've read the account of Joseph revealing himself to his deceptive brothers after so many times I've read it. But each time, just tears well up in my eyes, and I think, what a man character. What a man of integrity. Because you see, after being brutally betrayed by his brothers and left for dead, then sold, Joseph is honored by God, and God turns the tables against all the odds. And later, Joseph is about to single-handedly save the nation of Israel from famine. His is one amazing success story against all odds. And I thought, what's his secret, God? And then I looked at it and I thought, humility. But not just vanilla humility. I mean, this is a humility that was crowned with a heart to forgive. So what's our part? Here it is. Start early. Don't wait till you're challenged before you decide to be faithful. So number two, stay faithful. Whatever the cost, regardless, stay faithful. And then practice humility. A humility that's crowned with forgiveness. Because when you do, God will exalt you in due time. He will turn the tables. I promise you. That's just the character of God. Even if it's against all odds, you do your part. And I promise, I guarantee God's going to do his part. And when you are someone that God is using in a great way, stay humble. Because it just may very well be that through you, God wants to issue forgiveness to people. Because if you think about it, that's why he came to the world, to seek and save the lost and to give forgiveness. Who's he looking for? People who will be ambassadors for Christ so that his ministry of forgiveness may continue. But there's a pathway to that. Start early on and stay faithful and stay humble. Watch what God is about to do. Amen.
You've been listening to a message entitled Against All Odds by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Just to recap those three distinguishing characteristics Joseph had, here's Pastor Wayne.
Start early, stay faithful, and then practice humility. Because when you do, God will exalt you in due time.
Now for Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, God bless you and aloha.